All right, everybody. Buddy's podcast back. Woo!
Woo, woo.
Chris waters his plants with Mountain Dew. And,
hey, man. You hopped up on that Mountain Dew, baby.
We're back on the old just regular podcast. For those of you who are wondering where the fuck we were last week, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Try something different.
Here we go. Shawty come sit on my lap, ayy. They saying Drizzy just snap. This in between us is not like a store. This isn't a closable gap, ayy. I see some niggas attack and don't end up making it back. I know that they at the crib going crazy down bad. What they had didn't last, damn baby. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Briss mode.
What up?
Welcome back. Buddy's podcast.
We have returned.
Every Friday. Friday, October 9th is today's.
Hey.
So, Chris, how was your experience doing a live video show on our last one?
You know, pretty good.
You liked it?
Pretty good. I felt good about it. Not going to lie to you there.
I fucking hated it.
I mean, hey, you know, it's like that sometimes, but.
Do you want to know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because our editing team sucks. our production team sucks.
Dude.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing. No, to be fair. It's
those darn interns.
Yeah. They're lazy. We need interns who are A, thick-skinned, who can just take a beating verbally and can just get back right onto it without having to deal with their feelings.
We can't have you missing a beat here. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. And business casual all around, all of you. Except for Chris. Chris, you can wear whatever the fuck you want.
Hey, man, look, I just be rolling with it.
Yeah, he shows up in jerseys every week. What do you got to know? Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, you know, it's a Banksy. Yeah.
Banksy.
Yeah, why not?
And we didn't even talk about it on the show. I didn't realize until you were leaving that you had on the Caucasian shirt.
Oh, yeah, I totally had on the Caucasian shirt last week, yeah.
Very fitting for video.
Oh, yeah, it was totally fitting. Like, hey, why not?
So, we're doing our same old, same old. We'll do the Thursday recap, jump into the matchups, talk a little bit about all that. And just to kick things off, we had the Bucks and the Bears last night. I don't understand how the Bears are still winning football games.
Dude, like,
they're fucking terrible.
This is the worst, and I mean the absolute worst 4-1 team I have ever seen in my life.
I agree.
I do not understand how they're 4-1. Tampa should have dragged them last night, but for whatever reason, they had Tampa's number a little bit, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then Brady goes in the end and just goes full blown stupid mode, and I'm like, really?
Are you talking about the fourth down play?
Bruh. It was fourth down.
Yeah.
Wait, no, Brady, it's not. It ain't. Then they get to the post press conference. He knew it was fourth down.
Right.
Clearly. Like, clearly he knew. Come on now.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I hate to just, you know, because a lot of these games, you know, they try and put it on all in one play.
Yeah.
There was times in the first half where, you know, I felt like they were driving. Then, you know, a penalty happens. You know, they're backed up 10 yards when they were rolling all the way down the field. Ronald Jones looked good.
Yeah, he looked very good in the running game. I mean, he had 100 yards on the ground, so.
Did he get 100?
Yeah, he got 100. He ended with 106. Wow. Yep. Off of 17 carries at that.
Wow. Yeah, he looked good. I made the mistake to start Scotty fucking Miller.
Yeah. In hindsight,
he didn't even get looked at, dude. Yeah. He was lined up on the outside all night.
Yep.
And Brady was throwing, you know, to tight ends or guys out of the slot all day.
Gronk was more involved than Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
Like, come on now.
I mean, I just kind of suspected at least a decent outing considering, you know, Godwin's out.
Yeah,
you know, Brady likes to spread the ball, especially to guys that play like him, you know, who's kind of a shifty, you know, quick.
You knew Evans was going to get his, but, I mean, you figure he would spread it out a lot more since they focus so heavily on Evans without Godwin being there.
Yeah, a short white dude in a Tom Brady offense.
Dude, you're eating. You're eating.
It's 100 catches a season if I've ever seen it.
Yes. But the rookie was coming in and just stealing the show.
Yeah, that kid actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of reminded me of Marvin Hall.
Really?
Yeah, the kid from Lions, just the deep ball guy.
Just deep, yeah.
Except he's a little bit quicker. I liked him. Actually, it looked like kind of like Quintez Cephas, I guess, if you're going to compare him to anybody.
It's not bad.
Somebody can come in and kind of take a high-volume role.
Yeah.
And, you know, make a little something out of it.
Dude, no, man, Jimmy Graham not looking too bad on the season.
Yeah, dude, old man Graham.
Man, like that touchdown catch, I was like, okay, the throw was good, And the catch just made it such a better play. Like, that was probably the play of the whole game.
Yeah.
Well, that, and then also, you know, to hit that Kyle Fuller laid out. But
that was a big one, man.
Man, like,
that reminded me of, like, old school, you know.
You know what I had a flashback of when I saw it?
What?
Eagles and Saints, when Reggie Bush got depleted on the field, tried to walk it off, and was like, nope, nope. Yep. I'm just lay here real quick. It's cool, man. Guys. Give me a second. Man.
Wow.
Jimmy's not looking bad on deer. I mean,
what is going on over there?
He had the bear.
Fucking dog.
He doesn't like bears.
Trevor.
But yeah, he, you know, like the first game where Foles came in, dude popped off. I mean, he did decent last week.
Yeah. And I mean, he already had a little something going
earlier
on in that game. It's just Trubisky, like, literally just fell off so bad where it was like, we have to make a change.
Yep.
And then he blew up in the second half with Foles.
Yep, really did.
I was talking, doesn't he have 4 scores in the year already?
Yep, he does. He had 2 that week when Foles first came in, and he had 1 this week and 1 on week 1.
We'll call it 3 scores.
Yeah.
Because when you score on the Lions, it doesn't, it's like, it's we'll like, call it 3.5. That's worth half a touchdown.
That's fair. It's perfectly fair. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. But David Montgomery did not look good last night. Still had a pretty big
fantasy game. He had a solid fantasy game. But that, I mean, when you're getting, you know, 7 balls caught.
Yeah.
Like, that's 7 points by default. And then you got a touchdown out of it. So, yeah, fantasy production, it looks good. But overall, dude, you rushed 10 times for 29 yards. That's not even 3 yards a carry.
Oh, I didn't realize that was bad. This is the first time looking at the numbers.
Yeah, like... that's Allen
Robinson. I was just gonna say, dude, he had so many targets in that game. He had 16 targets,
man.
I mean, he was like he was getting the ball. He was getting looked at every single play. It seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Mooney, he had 2 for 15, but he had 5 targets. And on those other targets, they were nice deep shots. And I feel like he should have had a chance. I think one of those went for a penalty.
Yeah.
Where if he didn't get, you know, held or whatever the hell the call was, he looked like he could have gone. You know.
Yeah. Anthony Miller just
Anthony Miller's just fallen off.
I think with Foles in the starting role, I don't think Miller's going to be as involved as he was. Because, I mean, that first game against the Lions, Foles was looking for him a lot.
Trubisky.
Yeah, well, Trubisky, yeah. And then, you know, he fell off the face of the earth afterwards.
Yeah. Well, he did have that catch late in the Falcons game to help him drive back.
Yeah.
But Anthony Miller, definitely not a guy you can just kind of throw in the flex.
Yeah, like, he's a guy where if it's a bye week sub, maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to start him week in and week out, nah, you need to make some moves.
Are you picking up Gronk for your fantasy team?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
I don't blame you.
I think every league I'm in, I'm set at tight end. I either have Kittle, Andrews, or I have, you know, our boy Hawk.
Okay.
So I'm set there, realistically.
So if Hawk goes out and scores three points this week, and
I'm still
say Hawk gets injured, and it's between, like, Gronkowski or, like, Tyler Eifert, who are you going?
I would honestly trust Eifert a little more in that case. I mean, they're trying to get Gronk more involved, but, dude, I think getting him involved more will probably get Gronk hurt.
True.
And then you're without Gronk for a period of time. So, yeah.
All right, so chugging along. Again, we've done really kind of – haven't really put together a big presentation.
Right.
We kind of scratched the video for this week. I think we've got some, you know, work to do there.
That's cool. We figure it out, though.
Fucking production team. No.
Darn interns.
So starting Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. 2-2 Panthers. Falcons, they looked like they were gonna start the season off good. Blew a few games. They are who they are.
They are who we thought they were.
Doesn't look like Julio's gonna go in this game.
Mm-mm.
He had a limited practice today, I do believe.
Yeah.
But it was, like, very limited, and they're going to let him run tomorrow.
I don't know, man.
They said if his leg holds up tomorrow, he's going to be good to go. If it doesn't, he's going to sit. So it's all going to weigh on tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, because that's a big hole in your team.
Yeah. Calvin Ridley did nothing for you last week.
He did not, unfortunately. They looked horrible last week. Yeah. Like, man.
Todd Gurley looked good last week.
Yeah, he was the only good, he was the only bright spot in that offense, realistically. Because even Matt Ryan, I'm watching the game, and I'm just like, dude,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, Todd Gurley looked good in that game. I'd expect him to do pretty decent in this game as well. It's against Carolina's defense.
Yep.
They've had one sort of good game holding running backs this year. Outside of that, it's been
I mean, bad. Realistically, that last week was a lot on the fact that Eckler kind of went down the way he did.
Yeah.
You know, and you just throwing guys in there out of nowhere without much game plan.
Yeah.
I feel like that might have been a factor that worked in their favor, unfortunately.
Well, I guess they, I mean, Arizona's pretty easy to hold, though.
Yeah.
In the run game, specifically.
Like, all you got to do is just keep an eye on Kyler Murray, so, you know.
Yeah. Would you trade for somebody like Kenyon Drake right now, speaking of Arizona?
I don't know. That's a tough one. That's actually a tough one for me. I mean, it's a lot of upside, but me in the past, I've rode the Kenyon Drake train before.
Yeah.
And last year was literally the only year it's really panned out for anyone. So.
And that was only late in the season.
And I mean, looking at it, he's trending downward.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Like, even his snap count is actually kind of going downward some, too.
Yeah. There was something to that. I mean, I know.
Because I think he was banged up last week.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good trade low candidate right now.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would, but I always chase guys who, you know, get a pretty decent volume.
Yeah.
Which he's getting. Edmonds is, you know, going into the workload, but I think that was kind of their idea all season.
Yeah.
Or their game plan coming into the year. And he drafted him high.
Right.
You know, he's still getting the touches. And Arizona's just been bad the last 2 weeks. They got out-coached by the Lions. They looked like shit last week against Carolina.
Yeah. They're sliding.
Yeah.
But they got the best game to have, you know, in that type of scenario this week. So,
right.
There you go.
We'll get to that in a second. Bridgewater, would you start him?
Ooh, you know?
I think he's a good streamer this week.
Because it's the Falcons.
Right. That's the main reason.
You know, it's like, ooh, like, at first thought, you don't really want to trust Teddy. Because I definitely had an old rule before Teddy completely destroyed his leg. Never trust a grown man named Teddy in fantasy because I rode that train before and it went horribly for me.
Sure.
But this week is a week where you can definitely trust Teddy. I 100% would say you can.
My only real concern with it is it's a division game.
Yeah, those can be tricky.
Always tougher.
Yeah.
And Atlanta's actually gotten a lot healthier. They've been banged up for the last three games big time.
They have.
But they've got pretty much everybody back. The only two people I saw in the injury report was one guy for the defense who was pretty much a lock to be out this week anyways, and Julio Jones.
Mm.
Outside of that, they've got like nine guys returning.
I'm feeling about Dan Quinn the same way I feel about Adam Gase and, you know, Matt Patricia right now. I'm not picking them to win any games. I feel like anybody playing against them is going to feast.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And Mike Davis has looked good. Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of taken the role as number one guy.
Yeah, he has. He's stolen that. Like,
but having that said, I mean, DJ Moore, I would still bounce back. Believer. He still gets the targets, man. How many did he get last week?
Last week he came up with, how many targets was it?
He had six targets.
That's not bad.
He caught four balls for 49 yards, which,
yeah,
it's a sleazy fantasy outing.
Yeah.
While Robbie Anderson had 11 targets, caught eight of them for 99 yards.
Yeah. Robbie's looking good in that offense.
Right. I don't know. I would probably, I think Robbie Anderson's kind of the taking the role as number one guy.
Between those, I'd go Robbie if I had to start a guy.
Yeah.
Would you start Gase this week?
If Julio's out.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would. I absolutely would.
Especially if you're in a position where he's available somehow in your league and you got Julio, what you got to lose?
Right.
Do you really have better options?
Yep.
Probably
and
not.
For guys, I don't know how quickly adaptable your leagues are. But if you got guys that are like expected to, like games that are like the Jets game, that could be postponed
because
of the whole COVID thing.
Exactly.
So somebody like Brian Hill could score in this game very easily.
So
if you need somebody who's a just complete flyer, Brian Hill, somebody you could just snap in the lineup.
Just throw in.
Going against Carolina, he's going to get a few carries.
Yeah.
And
take a little bit of the load off of Todd Gurley a little bit, just keep the knees fresh.
Yeah, and you saw it in week one, or was it two? Where
I think it was week two, where he really just, you know, kind of had a good. Was it week two? No, it was week three against Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was his best week.
But he like broke like that 22-yard run or whatever.
Yeah, which really was what was the difference maker. for him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's somebody you could plug in your lineup.
Yeah.
Chugging along. The 1-2 and 1 Bengals at Chris's favorite team, the 3-1 Baltimore Ravens. It's not his favorite team.
Well, this will be an entertaining game. It's a division game, you know, in Baltimore. Joe Burrow's first time against the Ravens. It can be very ugly, or it can be very entertaining, because the AFC North is one of those divisions where even when your team is hot garbage, somehow you put up a fight in the division. You still keep it a little interesting in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, absolutely. The especially, like, you know, these games for other AFC North, you know, going against the Ravens, they're circled, you know. Mm-hmm. Going into Baltimore, it's a tough team to play.
Yeah.
Having that said, I mean, Lamar Jackson, he, like, didn't practice the past 2 days, but he did today.
Yep, he did.
He's good to
They said he had a little bit of an illness, and they had, like, a concern with his knee, but they said he's 100% good to go, so he's playing.
My only thing with Lamar Jackson is this. I'll give you this before we kind of go into the who you would and wouldn't plug in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a good fantasy outing last week.
Yeah, but he looked bad last week.
He did not look good.
Yeah, like he was saved by the touchdown run and the touchdown pass. Yeah. That's what made it a good fantasy outing.
And those were both amazing plays. Mm-hmm. That was actually his longest run of his career.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, really?
That throw to Andrews, that corner route, it was a beautiful play.
Oh, yeah.
Good throw, good catch on
both. But the rest of the game, it's like he was still seeing ghosts of Kansas City.
Yeah, man, he looked poor.
Like, they shook him up bad in that game. Like, it was scary how bad he got shook up in that game.
Right. Hollywood Brown. I was super high on this guy coming in the season.
Dude, me too.
I think this is a game where he could come out and actually do pretty well against
Cincinnati. He should be able to. But one key thing for Cincy in their favor, they got Geno Atkins back finally.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, he's back this week. First game.
Mike Daniels back too or no?
I don't think Mike Daniels is back, but I know Geno for a fact is definitely back. That's going to help them quite a bit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Like, that's a huge boost for them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's hard to really get the... I mean, I don't know. Not necessarily for Lamar. He can do a good job at escaping.
Yeah, he'll find a way to escape. But it creates chaos for Lamar.
Yeah.
And the more you make him uncomfortable, the better your chances of actually, you know, having a chance to beat him.
Right. And I'm kind of specifically talking about the deep ball here.
Mm-hmm.
As far as plugging any of these running backs in your lineup, I wouldn't even touch any of them. Obviously, Joe Mixon's a guy that you'd play.
Yeah, like Joe Mixon, which, Joe, last week, you almost cost me a game, buddy.
He was the highest fantasy point scorer, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, you almost cost me a game. Luckily, I was able to bounce back and make it happen.
Right.
But, man, it was ugly.
Yep. Hey, production team, can you guys turn down my headphones? Chris is screaming at me. Jesus, it's like pulling teeth getting anything done around here.
I know, right? Like, it's so just horrible, man. Like, these guys got to get better.
All right, that's good.
All right.
Now fucking go home. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, both guys, I think you could just kind of plug in and play. Mm-hmm. A.J. Green, you touching that?
By some miracle, T. Higgins is still available in your league, do get him. Because he's getting a nice rapport with Burrow.
Yeah. And the only reason I really say play these guys is they're Cincinnati's going to be throwing the ball all over the field, you know?
They're going to probably be down early, so
right,
you're going to have to sling it.
And, other than that, everybody else is kind of just, you know, guys that you're going to play.
Yeah.
I take it back. I think you can fire up Ingram this week.
I'd hope he's able to produce you something this week.
Well, the thing
is, it's just so weird with how this backfield is this year.
Yeah,
it's what I thought it was going to be last year.
Well, the thing with Baltimore is you're usually the number one running team in the league.
Yep.
And they haven't been able to establish that yet this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what's kind of making the offense not look as good, is that they don't have this.
They can't really assert that dominance with the run game and chewing up the clock.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to bet that Lamar Jackson's their top runner on the season.
Probably. Probably so. Let's see. Because you've got...
Here, you look up Jackson. I got the other guys.
Okay. Yeah, Lamar has... Doo-doo-doo-doo. Dang it, we sent the interns home too early.
Ingram's got 148.
Yeah, Lamar's definitely over because he had 83 against KC alone.
Yeah. Dobbins has 92.
He's about at 300 or so.
and Gus Edwards at 167. So Gus Edwards, as like I was talking about the other week, he's actually their highest rusher.
Yeah. Okay, I fibbed a little bit. Lamar has 235 on the ground.
Okay, so he's still their top runner.
Yeah, he's still their top rusher.
No way.
My estimates were off when I was looking at the numbers.
Yeah, okay, yeah, 235.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they just once they actually get the running game going, and I think actually Gus Edwards is the guy. That he looks the best. He looks the quickest.
Yeah.
And he looks like the guy that's going to be the best.
Everybody was sold on Dobbins, but...
He's been their pass catcher.
He is, and he's pretty solid as it.
Yeah,
I like him.
It's just it's gonna take him. It's gonna take him some time. Yeah, it's gonna take him some time to really get it going.
Yep.
Chugging along, Gardner Minshew is 1-3. Jacksonville Jaguars versus the 0-4 Texans.
Houston needs this win bad.
Oh, I think they're gonna get this win pretty easily.
They should.
It's one of those games where you know guys just kind of rally around the fact that they just got rid of
right. We got rid of the cancer in the locker room. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I expect all these guys to come up, have huge games. David Johnson's going to score a touchdown or two. Deshaun Watson will probably throw three. Probably, you know, rush for 50, 60 yards. Dude, you know what I thought about the other day?
What?
Gardner Minshew looks more like a woman than, seriously, than any NFL player I can ever think of.
Oh man! Like just like minus the mustache.
Like he just looks like
you know he looks like he would be a country western singer,
or that yeah.
Dude, looking at like his headshot that Sleeper has, he almost looks like Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, he does. I saw him on the sidelines the other day, and it was like a perfect bowl cut. Like he was going to a parent teacher conference.
Bruh, he's so entertaining. Like I really don't want him to lose out as a starting QB. Because he's just that entertaining, bro.
I don't think he will. He plays well.
Yeah. It's just if somehow they, you know, tank and get sunshine, yeah, he's out.
They're not going to do that. The Jets are good. The Jets already have
the Jets are trying to, which is stupid for them because Sam Darnold is not the problem.
No.
The problem is actually Adam Gase. But, you know, if they want to be idiots, they can be idiots in that case.
Right.
Yep.
Keep talking.
Like, they're literally
the production team.
I think they are the worst ran franchise in sports, and it's very unfortunate, but hey, sucks to be dumb, you know? It sucks to suck.
Attaboy, Chris, you're a professional.
Hey, man, look, gentleman and a scholar.
He's like, I'll repeat the same thing for 4 seconds while Miles
is able to get back to you. You can't really say it too many times and it not really be valid.
So, Fuller, start him. Randall Cobb or Brandon Cooks going forward?
Ooh.
Last week you said Cobb.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards possibly.
Or neither.
I would try to avoid both if I can.
Okay.
If I had to make a choice between the two, I'm going to still lean Cobb, but I'm trying to avoid both if possible.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you think the Texans are going to turn it around at all?
So they can because they have been in a scenario where they've had these poor starts and then kind of turn it around. So it's possible. And that division to me is still wide open. Like it's not as wide open as the worst division in football, but I mean, you're a couple games back. You're probably what, 3 games back. You still got a whole season to play. You've got a shot at this division and this division always comes down to the last game of the year. So
yeah,
they still have a chance. Now, if they go 0-6, nah, it's dead. They would have to run the table at that point.
Well, the Titans are actually 3-0, and they missed a game.
True.
Colts are 3-1, but that defense, I mean, that's literally the only reason they've won games.
Yeah.
Jacksonville 1-3. I don't really think they're going to win too many more. Probably get 5 or 6 more games. I'll have to look at the schedule, but that's kind of where I have them. I don't think the Texans have a shot to really overthrow the Titans. They've already kind of dug a hole.
Mm-hmm.
However, they could go on it's a nice possible. Little run, grab a wild card.
Yeah, like I said, the way this division is, it usually comes down to that last week of the season anyway.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
True.
But I mean, we talking about 2-3 weeks could be a different story. It depends on how Houston approaches these next couple games. And actually, what's their slate coming up? Oh yeah, the next 2 weeks definitely dictate it. They've got Jacksonville, and then they're in Tennessee. If they beat Tennessee. That shows yo, they can actually make a run for the division.
True.
And then after that, they got Green Bay, which they'll probably get killed that game. But
Green
you
Bay
know.
Is just that's a tough team to beat right now.
I feel like with Green Bay, once they face that team that punches them in the mouth, they'll kind of take a step back.
Yeah.
They've just got to get that team that's going to do it. Because realistically, if you ask me, they ain't played anybody really yet. Like, they had New Orleans, but...
A Michael Thomas-less New Orleans?
Yeah, you know, like, is that really anything?
I don't know. It's just the way, the fashion that they beat, because they haven't had Devontae Adams either.
They did
They're
not.
Just steamrolling people.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't have Devontae in that game and against Atlanta, so...
Yeah, and I mean, Green Bay's on a bye this week, so they don't really have a chance to kind of prove, like, oh, hey, we are that team.
Yeah.
But they do get the Bucs coming out of the bye.
That'll be very interesting to see.
And, I mean, they thrashed Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's defense doesn't look that great.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, just watching Aaron Rodgers, the way that he's, you know, handling the offense, their offensive line is really kind of the other, like, the main story that's kind of not being talked about. Like, he hasn't been hit yet this year.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones is just doing whatever
he wants. He's just ridiculous. Like, I think he had 1 week where he was down.
And that was last week, and that was Jamal Williams took over.
I think the week before, actually, because he still ate last week. Yeah, last week he
rushed 69 times for...
Yeah, 15 for 71, and he caught 5 for 40. Yeah, the week before was his weakest week, technically.
He still had a touchdown and 4.5 per carry on the ground on 16 carries.
So it's like, you know, you had a dip week, but that dip week really looks more so like a dip week because look who you were playing across from. You were playing across from Kamara, who popped the fuck off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's looking great. And the way that they approached it last week by spelling in, you know, Williams the way they did, not bad.
Yeah, that could be a sneaky guy to have on your team. I mean, he's already seeing 20% of the timeshare already.
Sorry for you guys that tried to jump the gun and try to take A.J. Dillon in the draft. I don't know why you did that. Yeah, that was a stupid move of you.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, hopefully you can bounce back and get Williams in place.
Right. And I mean, I said that wrong. So I said 20% of the carries. He's getting... on average, like for the time that he plays, he's actually looking at getting close to 20. I forget the fucking stat. Let me find it. I'm going to sound like an idiot if I try and say it.
All right. It's cool.
Words are hard, Miles. I know.
They're so difficult. Like, you just don't understand sometimes how difficult they are, but it's okay.
I'll never be able to find this. Start Chenault? Yeah, no.
I feel like Chenault could be a good start this week. I feel like he could. Like, Houston's going to come in with a point to prove, but Chenault ain't a bad start, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I don't know. Eifert has kind of been decent since he took over. Getting some targets. He's got a touchdown on the year.
Mm-hmm.
No, I take that back. He went 2 for 22, 2 for 11. Don't listen to me. Moving
this
along.
Guy. Go home, Miles. You're drunk.
I'm also trying to find that stat I was talking about the other day. 2-2 Raiders going on the road to your team.
Whew. This is going to be a fun game. Very fun. Fun for Chiefs fans.
For you, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be too fun for Raiders fans. But you never know. Division game. The Raiders, honestly, are not as bad as they seem with the 2-2 record. So, you know, and also, fun fact. We're coming into a game with two QBs that have not thrown interception this year.
Carr doesn't have a pick?
Yep. The only three without interception so far are Mahomes, Carr, and Rodgers.
Really?
Yes. I feel like Carr might throw that first pick this week.
Maybe.
Like, dude, Kansas City's defense is way better than expected. They literally have the second lowest point total given up at like 17 a game.
Is it? I thought Pittsburgh was second.
I think Pittsburgh might be first, actually.
No, Indy's first, for sure.
I looked earlier. KC was showing is actually second for points given up. I'm like, really? That's very interesting.
I guess when I did look, it was like Monday.
Oh, yeah. So it would shift by then.
Oh, I thought it was, or maybe it was Tuesday. But I thought, I don't know, from what I saw. I thought Indy was like far beyond the best defense in football, like, and it wasn't even close. Like, They haven't even allowed like 1,000 total yards or something crazy like that.
Yeah, like, dude, it's weird looking at it. It's like, what? Like, really?
I will find that timeshare stat with Jamal Williams that I was talking about the other day.
Hey, man, go ahead. Find it.
Eventually, at some point, I will find it.
By all means.
Wait, this is offense. Defense.
Yeah, Indy's first. Then you've got...
Pittsburgh second.
Points per game. Indy's given up 14. KC 17.5. San Fran with 17.8. Baltimore with 18.3, which is a godsend considering, you know, they had to play KC on Monday night. And Pittsburgh with 19.3 giving up a game.
How has this happened twice now? To where you and I pull up the same goddamn thing.
And it's different?
And it's different.
Dude, I don't know what's going on.
How many points does it say Indy gave up?
So Indy gave up 14 a game.
56 you're looking total. At average.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, average.
Okay.
Yeah, total...
So average,
yeah. Pittsburgh right. is second, yeah with okay. the total, but points per game as far as average, yeah. Which Pittsburgh is somewhat skewed just because they technically had their bye week,
right?
So that's fair,
yeah. Anywho, still, I don't know. I think
that's like, impressive,
yeah.
Because especially considering, dude, they're missing their top corners. Like, right. Casey isn't even healthy on defense.
Right.
And they're still putting up those numbers.
Yeah.
And the problem was, coming in, their corners.
True. This week, since Ruggs looks like he's going to be a go, I've said it on the pod already a couple times. It sounds like I'm repeating myself every time I talk about Las Vegas, but they're a good team. They're good defensively, and they're good at moving the ball.
They're an underrated team, honestly.
Big time. Yeah, big time.
Like, a lot of people are sleeping on them, which they shouldn't have after that Monday night game against New Orleans, but...
Yeah, and they didn't have Ruggs last week or the week prior to really take the top off of the defenses and open things up for Waller and Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have that back now. Edwards isn't playing. I think you'll still see you know, Renfrow and Aguilar and stuff, but...
Yeah. Oh, they still got Ruggs. Zay Jones? Wow.
Yeah, but he's like...
Yes. Well, that's why I was like, they still have him?
Right. But with Ruggs, it's going to add a whole new dimension to this team. And if Carr can just lock in that deep ball with him, dude, like...
Oh, yeah, they're good.
It could
they're
be set. Huge, yeah. It could be, he could be, you know, right in that same tier with, you know, Hollywood Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like all these guys this week. I think Jacobs is going to... You know,
yeah, Jacob's got a solid chance. I think he's good.
He'll be involved in the passing game.
Yep.
I think he'll get, you know,
close. He'll definitely get some touches on the ground. Yeah. You definitely are starting you're starting both tight ends in this game.
Like, yeah, those are lock starts.
Like, that's a lock.
Yeah.
So that's a given. And I mean, yeah, you know, start Tyreek. Would you start Watkins? I know your answer to that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Like, I wouldn't.
Like, a lot of these guys, if you ask me, them or Cole Beasley, I'm almost,
Get your 10
always going to say, take your 10 from Cole Beasley.
Yeah, take your 10.
Which actually this year, I think it's been a tick higher.
Really?
I think he got me like 9.8 last week. The week before, he got me like 18.
Oh.
The week before that, it's like 16.
Week All right, that, Steve like the Pirate. Arr, you're out here.
Edwards-Hilaire.
Mm-hmm.
Is interesting because he's involved in an offense. It's got
so many weapons.
Yeah. But he's still getting, you know, 25, 10, 20, and 16 carries.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting, you know, some yards, not the 140 that he rushed for in week one. But he's also getting used in the passing game a little bit.
And I mean, honestly, to be fair, his numbers are looking somewhat comparable to, like, Kareem Hunt in that offense before Kareem Hunt fully, like, had those games where he took off, like
exactly.
Those pedestrian games for Kareem Hunt looked almost the exact same as these look.
Right.
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
And that's a good upside because you saw what he could do week one.
Yeah. And I think they've found their perfect replacement for Hunt, somebody that's going to come in, you know, just kind of be that running back that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. They got a perfect pick in Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
And
I personally thought that Swift would have been the pick for them in that case, but Clyde showing he's their guy.
He was the right move.
Yeah.
Although I feel like if Swift was in that offense, he'd be...
Dude, Swift would be eating in that offense. Yeah. Like, I feel like it could have went either way for them, but they got a gem in Clyde. So, yeah.
Right. All right. the 0-4 Joe Flacco's Jets host the 2-2 Cardinals, maybe.
Right, maybe. They've had it in conclusive test that could have been positive, so. But the league has said they're not looking to postpone this game just yet.
Yeah.
So unless things come back, you know, as positive with multiple cases probably tomorrow, I don't think they're going to can this game.
All right, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this tonight, trade for Kenyon Drake.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, get him low.
Yeah.
After this game, sell him high.
Yeah, because he's going to eat.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be involved.
Yep.
DeAndre
the
Hopkins,
Jets are just disgustingly horrible.
Hopkins is probably going to drop 30 points by himself, but Drake, I feel like, is going to get
you some. Say 30, I say 40 possibly against this defense, because, man, Kyler Murray might low-key get you a 40 to 50 ball by himself.
Something like that.
Like, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is one of the strategies that I talk about in fantasy all the time, man. Mm-hmm. Like, just get your
guys.
Find
a guy before an ideal matchup.
Right.
Bomb low.
And this is something that you should have already done.
Yeah.
Like, this week, before the Thursday night matchup even happened, you know? Mm-hmm. Get Kenyon Drake for super low. Let him go out there, you know, go ape on the fucking Jets.
Exactly.
And then you trade him for, you know, a somewhat decent back.
Yeah.
Package him in something else for, you know, Edwards-Helaire or something.
Bingo.
Would you touch Christian Kirk?
Nah.
Not I don't know. In I this just, game against the Jets?
I want to say it, but I don't know. Every time I feel like I could trust Christian Kirk, it just doesn't work
then,
out.
Like, you know, little Keyshawn Johnson, the eighth.
Right.
Comes out and does something crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, all right, yeah. Nah.
Is Le'Veon back this game?
They're saying he's supposed to be. Oh, so all signs are pointing that he's back. Unless something last second comes up, Le'Veon should play.
Okay. That's that's different.
Like, I feel like unless they just say precautionary, we're not going to play you. But I don't see any reason why he shouldn't play this week.
Yeah, I'm just finding this out now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the Jets will do it. They don't really have, like, that player that can just be like, okay, dude, we've had enough, like, Gase is fucking terrible.
Yeah. I mean, Le'Veon could be that guy, but he hasn't produced shit there, so.
And he's only been there a year.
Yeah.
It's not like J.J. Watt who comes in and it's like, this is my city, yep. And I want Bill O'Brien out of here.
Captain America.
Yeah.
But he got into it with D-Hop, but it's Captain America.
Right.
So you gotta listen to Captain America. Yeah. I don't know. Like, the Jets probably aren't gonna fire Gase before the end of the year, unfortunately. Because
I think they'll have to.
They should have did it last week if that was the case.
True.
So, you know, like, losing to Denver the way they did, they should have definitely fired him right after that game. He should not have made it until the weekend as that head coach.
Yeah. Well, the Lions also should have fired Patricia.
They should have, but you have a caveat to that.
You would also have to fire the... Go ahead. Go ahead.
So my caveat to that is this. Because we've seen the Lions, you know, do stupid things time and again. Keep Patricia for the whole year just so that you take away the stupidity of them getting hot under the interim coach, and then, you know, everyone thinking, maybe this guy is the answer. And it's the same cycle. Because I feel at this point, Lions, you got two options. Bieniemy or Saleh. I'm fine with either of those guys. Those are the answers.
Can you repeat
that? Bieniemy and Saleh.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, that's my answer. I personally feel like since the defense is so horrible, Saleh is the answer more so than Bieniemy. But I'm not opposed to Bieniemy either. Like, I've been saying since last year, I want Saleh to be the coach anyway. Yeah. Like, I was hoping that he didn't get hired last year just so that the Lions can cut loose of Patricia this year and get him. And I feel like, yo, ride that wave to the end of the season. You know, it improves your draft stock by having him, clearly. You're going to hit a top 10 pick guaranteed with Patricia as your coach.
Yeah.
I would cut ties with Quinn as soon as possible, though. Absolutely. That lets Patricia know, yeah, your days are numbered. You're coach to the end of the year. Which will either light a fire under him so that he coaches his life out, or they just continue to be the Lions.
Yeah.
Either way, you win in that scenario.
Okay, look at it like this. They come out of the bye,
mm-hmm.
Lose to the Jaguars.
Which is highly possible.
Fire Patricia, named Bevel, the interim head coach.
And I'm scared for that.
Because of the reason you just listed?
Yep, because they'd be like, well, we like you, coach. Let's go ahead and play for you.
Right.
And then they just run on a tear to end the season. And then next year they're in the same position.
We're drafting 17th.
Yep.
Or some guy that has just no the Lions being look in the top 30.
Hey, that new wild card spot, it's the Lions. Cool. Who you got to play? You're going to have to play Green Bay and Green Bay because they're the number 2 seed. Shit.
Right. Moving along. Yep. Let's chug along. I did kind of want to talk Lions this week because of the shit that really came out. I mean, you can't really knock Patricia. We can stick on this topic for a minute.
We can.
So I didn't really want to knock Patricia too much
for
him saying, you know, I had a lot of work to do, which it's total fucking shot at Jim Caldwell.
It is, which is complete bullshit because in all honesty, Jim Caldwell's legacy as a Lions coach looks so much better because of Patricia.
Right.
It looks so much better.
Yeah. And everybody knows who, you know, sat through every game that, you know, Caldwell coached. He'd go out and beat up, win all the games he needs to.
Yep.
But when it came to, you know, playing the Packers, playing the Vikings,
like
playing
the big games, like you beat who you needed to. You beat maybe one or two teams that you have no business beating. And then when it came time to put up or shut up, you have a BS call that any other coach, Jim Schwartz, Matt Patricia, will lose their mind over. And Caldwell's just standing there. This is fine. Everything is fine. Jim, no. Throw a fit.
Yeah.
Get their attention to kind of reverse this. I think I've only seen Caldwell upset once on the sideline his whole tenure here.
Yeah.
And I think that was towards the very end.
Was that the Dallas play?
I think it might have been the Dallas play.
Where Calvin Johnson was running by himself 40 yards downfield. No, I don't think Stafford, that one. And Stafford threw it to a fully covered.
That one was not it. That one was not it. I wish it was, but it wasn't.
That was the big, like, that was the big play.
But it was, it was like later, like his last year, and I saw him fired up on something. I'm like, this is the coach that I wanted. That's the guy that we should have had the whole time.
Right.
Like, if he could have had that fire a little more, I know he's like from that Tony Dungy tree where you try to be more reserved and quiet and stuff, and, you know, a fun guy. But dude, that team needed a guy that was going to be a maniac on the sidelines a bit.
Yeah. Jim Schwartz, that's going to go out and, you know, fight the coach of the Cardinals or the Bills or whatever the hell it was. Yeah.
Like, oh, you trying to run up the score on us, bro? Meet me in the locker room. What's good? You know.
But I mean, at what point does, and this gets overlooked every time this conversation comes up? Like, at what point do you not say, like,
we need to take a step ahead?
No, you start pointing the finger at the quarterback.
That's who.
And it's just like Stafford has had so many good game-winning drives.
He has.
He's had some success in seasons where, you know, we don't have a run game.
And he defense, just looks phenomenal.
Our defense is shit. He's throwing the ball 60 times a game, throwing for, you know, 4,000-plus yards, one time for over 5. And it's just like, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but we won 4 games.
Yeah.
You know, you get a whole new offensive coordinator. You bring in Jim Bob Cooter. You know, he gets moved up. You know, we play well, and then it's just like, at what point do you realize, like, we've always lost outside of, you know, Jim Caldwell really bringing the most out of Stafford, if we're being fair.
Yeah.
And this, when he had, like, the quarterback guru, the guy who was surrounded by Peyton, you know, who helped Peyton Manning, and he goes out with the best defense, one of the best defenses I've ever seen.
Yeah.
2014.
Terrell Austin was a guru.
Yeah. And Stafford has a fucking 49 quarterback rating on the season.
Yeah.
You know, like, at what point do you not point the finger and it's like, okay, the inconsistency, you know, we're kind of tired of it. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. It's just,
I mean, it's fair. It's fair.
As a Lions fan, you know, it's tough to watch.
Because, you know, I'm a Stafford fan anyway, but it's like, eh, at some point, I mean, he has wasted his career here. He has.
Right. And I mean, the times that he's had a good team around him, he plays like shit.
Yeah.
Like, this year, there's no excuse. Mm-hmm. He's got the best offensive line, running back, and wide receiver weapons I've seen since he's got
He's been here, realistically. This is the most stacked that he's been, because he even has Hock, which is the best tight end he's had.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, sure, your defense plays like shit, but it shouldn't be a thing for you to throw, you know, 4,000 yards up.
Yep. Well, really 5,000 for him.
Yeah.
Because he's hit 5,000 before.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's on pace to go over 4,000, but he just, he's doing what he always
does. Poor decisions.
Misfiring. Yeah. I don't know if the decision making, I think it's just the throws that are just off. Like, he looked like how Nick Foles did last night.
Yeah.
Like, sure, you're in the game, you're close,
but you should be out of the game, you know, you should be way more ahead, chewing up clock.
Right. And who have we've had the Packers, Saints, week one was
the,
why can't I think of it? I was just thinking about it. It was
Bears,
Chicago.
The Bears, yep.
and then
the Cardinals was the one win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say it's been a tough schedule so far, but
which it has somewhat, but New Orleans should have been a win. That should have been a locked win.
Yeah, that was a Mike Thomas list.
Yeah. Green Bay, you just came out flat. And Chicago, you should have beat Chicago.
Yeah, that was
so
a drop.
It's not really a poor scheduling thing, because realistically, the only loss that should have stayed as a loss, which even in the way they played that game and came out, they had a chance to win, was Green Bay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I can't say.
Well, they started the game 14-0 on the Saints.
Exactly. So, you know.
Yeah. Huh. Was that Siri screaming at you?
Yeah, Siri was screaming at me.
I mean, if the Lions are 2-2 right now, it's a different conversation.
I still want Patricia gone if they're 2-2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like, nah, that ain't the wave.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I mean, Patricia could literally be 4-0 right now, and I still want him gone.
True.
Like, it's just, that's how bad of a fit he is here.
Well, it's just the, anybody who's, like, not, I mean, just go look at, you can look at the stats, but really watch the game.
Yeah.
Like, of how easily offenses can move the ball on Patricia's teams. Mm-hmm. It's like he's in a prevent defense at all times.
Yep. Like, just stop him from scoring, but they're going to score. Just stop him from scoring.
Yeah.
Bruh, if we don't send some pressure, they're going to score. Like,
I mean, you know. It was 4th-and-3 or 3rd-and-3 against the Saints, and they rush 3, and Kamara just, like, literally walks for 6 yards to get the first down to ice the game.
Yep.
It's just like, man, it's tough to watch.
Yeah. I will say one thing, too, with the defense, because I've got a friend that's, like, he's definitely, thus far, like, seeming like anti-Akuda as far as, like, for the pick.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I need a reason why he's dead last as far as all, you know, qualifying safe, I mean, corners and stuff. And like it's like
the PFF numbers.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, like, I get it, but he's a rookie. Rookies, unless you're a primetimer Jalen Ramsey, you're not coming in looking that great. And then you're looking even worse when you have no pass rush and you've basically got to defend the guy for 10 seconds. That's exactly. A lifetime in that position.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to look bad there.
Right.
I was like, because look at it last year. You had Darius Slay looking pedestrian last year.
Yeah, but Slay made
he still quite made a few plays good happen, plays, but
he
like,
did get the ball thrown on him.
He had the ball thrown on him. He was looking like it was a lot of games where I'm like, is that Slay? Like,
right.
He's not made anything happen, and he makes a big play happen eventually. But you know, it's like, but that's something that when you're a seasoned player, yeah, you can still find a way to make that play happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a rookie, it's not going to happen that much unless you're a generational talent.
Yeah, and I mean, Okuda's got a lot of time to.
He's got a lot of time to
turn
get
it around.
Yeah.
It's young. It's early.
It's early in the season. It's only the first quarter of the season, so I'm like, I wouldn't harp on him too much just yet. But
and so far,
it's so many pieces that factor into him looking as bad as he does.
Well, think about it like this too. He's played Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Kyler Murray.
Yep.
And
Drew Brees. Yeah.
And that's a Kyler Murray with DeAndre Hopkins, who you're on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep. And you had Devontae Adams when you played against, you know.
You didn't have Mike Thomas, but you also had Drew Brees.
Yeah. You had Drew Brees. And you had Alvin Kamara carving you alive. And Emmanuel Sanders actually looked good last week. Like, he looks like the guy I expected him to be.
Right.
But, you know.
So we were just talking about Slay. Speaking of Slay, did you see his overall went down on Madden?
Yeah, I was like, really? Like, y'all really don't like him
at all. He's allowed 31 yards and through the air on the season.
It's like, why do you hate this man?
I don't understand it,
like,
dude.
Whose girlfriend did he take in high school or college that went on to be a developer at Madden that's constantly like,
that's exactly
you know,
what happened.
Which, if Slay hears this, Jennifer, I'm sorry if, you know, the comment comes across as a shot or anything. I'm so sorry. You're an amazing woman and all that. It's just, you know, I feel like this is the type of animosity Madden had is against this guy. It's the animosity where, like, you stole somebody's girl and they can't let it go. Like,
I don't understand.
That has to be it.
It's like what they did to Ethan Albright. Did I ever tell you about that story?
No.
So this guy, Ethan Albright, he was a backup guard for the Washington, we'll call him Washington football team.
Right.
At the time, it was Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was rated. He was the lowest rated player in the game. He was like a 58. So he wrote this letter to EA Sports. And he's like, you act like a 48 awareness. He goes, what do you mean a 48 awareness? Are you seriously rating me as if I wake up and eat rocks every morning, you know? And like, he just sent like this long, it was hilarious, this hilarious letter.
Oh my God.
We'll have to pull it up and read it on the show one of these days. Dude, that's so funny. Actually, I'm going to put it in the notes for next week.
That's hilarious.
I'm totally going to dig that thing out.
No, like, do it. From like Madden 05 all the way till about 09, I swear somebody at EA hated Matt Burke, because every year I started a season on there, like, or a franchise, and I could start multiple franchises. Every single time, Matt Burke has a career ending injury every year from 05 to 09. I was like, who hurt y'all? What did Matt Burke do to really hurt you that bad where you just got this guy getting career ending injuries and simulated seasons and stuff, bro? Yeah. Like, come on now.
Sorry, we got like 10 minutes. Oh my God. Let's just go through it. Yeah. Eagles, Steelers.
Eagles finally got first win. Finally.
They do, but yeah, they're about to get thrashed. No DeSean Jackson.
Yep.
I mean, no, what's his name, even though he's been
no
practicing.
Alshon. Yeah. Yeah, they say he's got like an illness.
Yep. Yeah. Miles Sanders, if you can afford to, bench him this week.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's that good.
Yep. They going to contain him. If you got to start Carson Wentz this week, I'm so sorry for you.
You're not starting Carson Wentz this week. Don't do it to your team. Yeah,
like, dude, I would start freaking Kyle Allen over Carson Wentz this week.
I'd start Phillip Rivers over.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah, that's an easy one.
Well, they're playing Cleveland.
Yeah, they're playing Cleveland.
Yeah. James Conner, obviously, fire him up.
Yeah.
He's going to have a big week.
Yep.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju's going
to
eat.
It's going to be a little tougher. He's got Slay.
Yeah, but I feel like they're going to find a way to get him open. Okay. They're going to find... Because, I mean, with Slay... Granted, Slay's amazing. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the best corners in the game. But I've seen, you know, quality receivers still find a way to have a decent game against him.
We're Buddy's Podcast. Mm-hmm. We're not Electronic Arts. We're not going to disrespect Slay on this show.
Bro, I'm not even disrespecting him. Like, you know, like, he's a hell of a player. Like,
Slay is a shadow guy. He's not going to just sit on one side of the field. He's going to follow Juju around the field.
He's going to follow him. Yeah.
Juju, but I'm calling it now. I have him on my fantasy team. I need him to have a huge week. He's going to get you 12 points at the very...
I feel like he might cover a spread.
That's my shot of the week. What's his spread? What's he expected?
He's expected to drop about 19, almost 20.
He's not doing that. Not on Slay. He's not doing that.
I don't know, man. Because, like, I've seen it happen. Keenan Allen's done it to him many times, you know? Like, I've seen guys, and Slay still came up when it mattered most and got a pick off of him or forced an incompletion. But, hey, you know.
Okay. If Smith-Schuster does not hit 19.77 points in our scoring, I get to fire your intern. And if he does hit it, you have to pay mine $20. Deal?
See the type of trades we get as far as, you know, like offers and stuff? Like, hey, your intern's fired. Or you got to pay. What? Like, where's the win in this?
I'm the boss. Rams 3-1 against the 1-3 football team out of Washington.
Man, Washington football team about to look ugly.
Which Rams running back would you start this week? I'll give you the correct answer. None.
Yeah, I'm like, do I have to answer gun to my head? Because if it's gun to my head, I feel like I might die.
Nope. Trick question. Kupp and Woods, I think, are both to go. They'll have bounce back weeks. Higbee should find the end zone.
Yeah.
Scary Terry got a tough matchup.
He has a very tough matchup, but he's shown he can produce. But, hey, I told you before the podcast started, my shot of the week, I'm benching Scary Terry for CeeDee Lamb. It's a bold move.
I always had the Giants, so I don't mind that.
Like, it's a bold move, but, you know, it's like, eh.
Yeah. Haskins is officially benched this week, right?
Which is BS.
It is.
Because
he went against the Ravens.
And not to mention, you told the guy he has to produce, he plays against the Ravens, has his best game of his career just about, and then you bench him? Like, I think he had his highest passing yardage game.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. They said it was a career high.
314 yards.
They said it was
32 of 45.
Yeah.
And he had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah. But, yeah, 314 is a career high.
Why are they starting Kyle Allen over Alex Smith?
Look, I feel like it's a health thing with Smith, but to me, what's what's even more glaring is the fact that, you know, because of this, Dwayne Haskins goes from starter to QB3. Smith's still your QB2.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I'm like, that's BS.
Yeah.
Like, Dwayne Haskins is getting screwed out of the starting job.
So Chris sent me this thing earlier. Well, maybe we'll post that on the Instagram.
Yeah, we might. Yeah.
It's the RG3.
Yeah.
Handshake with Haskins. Meeting at the middle of the field after last week.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a get out.
It's like, get out. Get out. Because he needs to get out of here. Like, and it's nothing against Ron Rivera. I see Ron's trying to turn the franchise around, but this isn't your guy. We can clearly tell this isn't your guy. Yeah. You want to bring in your guy, whoever that may be. So, you know, why even? But it's like, I feel bad for Dwayne because you gave this kid a vote of confidence coming into the season. You made him a captain, told him he's the starter, while also lightly hinting that Alex Smith is going to be the starter if he's healthy enough.
Yeah.
It's like you never really gave this kid confidence, but you wanted to make it seem like you did.
Right.
Dude, if you would have been more straightforward with him, I would have been more okay with this. But it's like you screwing the guy at this point.
In the game that they came back and won, was it week one or week two?
It was week one, Philly.
That was the game. Oh, yeah, they beat Philly.
Yep.
He really rallied the team back. They were down in the first half. They said that Ron Rivera was doing some sort of treatment at
halftime. Yeah, he was doing his treatment, and they said Haskins, you know, rallied the team.
I mean, there's got to be some sort of, like, you know, hey, kudos to you, good job. You know, we're going to, you know, at least move around with you. I get he's been bad, but...
Well, not only has he been bad, though, it's like, dude, he's been bad. All you have is... You know, Terry McLaurin for him.
Right.
You have nothing else. You don't have a running game that's consistent.
I do like Antonio Gibson.
I like him, but it's like you don't have a consistent running game yet.
Right.
You don't have anything to throw the ball to other than Terry. If guys know that.
Logan Thomas. Yeah. We've seen him. Not
exactly.
Not a like, great option.
If guys know you only have one option to go to, dude, they're going to make you look bad week in and week out, unless they're bad.
Yeah.
So, realistically speaking, like, man, I just don't feel like he's got a fair shake.
Right. So, Miami-San Fran, I mean, if you have Gaskin, maybe. Mm-hmm. Garoppolo's back. Mostert, for sure, start. I think McKinnon still plays a role in this offense.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't touch Deebo Samuel yet.
Nah, not yet.
Brandon Ayuk's definitely a go. And Devontae Parker's a go.
Yeah.
But Brandon Ayuk, I feel like, is more of like, he needs a big explosive play
to really make things happen.
Yeah, to have a good fantasy week.
Yeah, but with Jimmy back, that should bode well for them. So, you know.
And going against Miami. Like, yeah. nothing against Miami.
They look better.
They've looked a lot better.
They look better this year. Like, their defense is definitely revamped. It's just,
I would like to see, you know, you hate to see anybody do bad, but I would like to see Fitzpatrick kind of have a down game so maybe they can throw out the idea of throwing two out there.
We have an update. Jets game is on. That was a false positive.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So, yep. That Jets game is definitely still on for Sunday.
Fire up your guys.
Yep.
You heard it here first. Moving on to the Colts-Browns game, I would have liked to cover this a little bit more. We're kind of short on time here.
Yeah.
For the Browns, D'Ernest Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot, but not this week.
Yeah. Dude, they didn't update scoring properly here on Sleeper.
No, not that. They always do it like the day before. They're late, and especially like they're trying to move things around with the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, because I'm like, you got Chubb still projected for 16 points, but you got Hunt projected for 24.
Yeah.
How'd you make that error?
Yeah. And I think also a lot of it has to do with like adjusting scoring like per league. Like,
yeah.
Because our scoring is different.
Different. Fair.
Mayfield is actually Baker's actually looked decent.
He's looking better. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's got a great running game to complement everything that he's trying to do through the air. Odell, you saw the 3-touchdown game. Granted, it was against the Cowboys.
Which he is, you know, owner of the Dallas Cowboys while we're on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he plays them, it's just.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Odell's going to splash like he did. No, I mean, obviously, not even anything remotely close to last week, but I don't see him being able to do anything even remotely close to that against the Colts.
Nah, that's
they're
not
good, man. I've watched them. They're good. They're really good on defense.
Yeah.
Now they haven't played against the teams to where it's like, they've had the Jags, the Vikings, the Jets, and the Bears. So they haven't had like a huge test, but so far Indy's, you know, held everybody in check that they have played.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. Use your words, Miles.
God dang it, Miles. Use your dang on words.
You starting T.Y. Hilton?
I feel like I don't got much of a choice.
No.
Are? Yeah, I feel like I might not have a choice. He better finally snap out of whatever is mentally wrong with him, because, dude.
I don't see it this week.
I sadly don't see it yet either, but.
That Cleveland defense is good, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, it's a very legit defense.
Yep. Jonathan Taylor, you kind of have to start him. I don't like it, though. Not against Cleveland.
Nah, I wouldn't trust it, but.
Hey. Cleveland could actually make a serious run towards for the division.
They could. Especially depending on how Baltimore, you know, approaches the rest of the season.
I mean, Steelers are 3-0, Ravens are 3-1, Browns are 3-1.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Giants, Cowboys. Interesting to possibly start some Giants this week. Devontae Freeman. I think I'm actually gonna play him.
Really?
Or wait. Is the Titans game official? Like, is it good to go?
They're saying, you know, Tuesday, but they said that hinges on no more positive test. Okay. At this rate, how much do I trust the Titans to not have a positive test between now and Tuesday? I feel like we're going to wake up Tuesday morning, the Titans have a positive test.
Right.
And then it just fucks everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I take that back. I'm not starting Freeman.
Yeah.
Unless it gets called.
Mm-hmm.
Something we're doing or not. Did I bring this up on the show at all?
I don't think you did. Yeah.
So something that we've done this week or going forward this season is we're allowing managers to alert the commissioner just in case, like if there's a game that's like there's a scare, COVID could
happen. Like you really have a concern that this may occur.
Right. So prior to any games happening, so if like the Thursday night game, you want to have a backup player for that game just in case this guy has COVID.
Right.
You have to let me know before the game happens, you know, so that way it's not like, oh, he dropped 20, I'm going to use him.
Mm.
You know, but you can alert your commissioner. If the game gets canceled or postponed, you know, due to COVID, then I'll allow you to put your backup in place.
Boom.
So that's like something like that I would do for Devontae Freeman this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Cowboys are pretty strong on the run front.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like you said, Slayton, Tate, actually, I think both of these guys could have decent games.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if Daniel Jones,
you know,
doesn't look, you know, worse than Haskins, which he has,
mm-hmm.
you know, again.
I will say I'm somewhat shocked that Golden Tate is even playing this week. I thought he was going to be suspended after Brawl last week. You know? Like, I'm really shocked the NFL did not suspend him.
Dude, Jalen Ramsey slammed his ass. Dude, did you see that?
That was a spine buster.
Yeah.
Good spine buster, yeah, too. Dude. Like,
I thought he was going to do the people's elbow right after.
Man. Like, oh, it's coming. It's coming. Nope.
Right. Vikings Seahawks.
Would have been a great Sunday night game. Had, you know, we not been in a position where the Vikings are the Vikings of this year.
But the Vikings are good on the ground.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, as expected.
Yep.
Who do you got winning this game?
Seattle. I'm still a roll with Seattle on this one. Russ is too hot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Minnesota's defense is too suspect now to contain him.
Right.
And if you want to beat Seattle, you have to find a way to contain Russ.
Hey. Wait, I'm literally about to piss my pants.
Oh, that's cool.
We got 4 games left, and we're not going to rush through them. I'll be right back.
All
right. All right, we're back. We're not gonna rat the kid out. We were just Chris was telling me a story about
you know,
LeBronny James.
Yeah, a little Bronny. Free Bronny, man.
So what else news you got? Dude, actually, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something here.
All right.
Use my platform to talk to everybody who's got a broken screen on their phone. Get it fixed. It's life-changing. I just had to deal with it.
Man.
Dude, it's such a game-changer. Like, not seeing one side of your screen just completely shattered. Like, I know I'm talking to the majority here, people without broken and shattered screens. Don't take it for granted. It's so nice.
Nope. Don't do it.
All right. Now that I've used my time. So we were talking about the Vikings and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Russ is playing at an MVP level.
Yep, he is.
DK Metcalf is looking like, you know, one of the...
Dude, he look like a grown man out there.
Yeah, the top wide receiver in the league. Him and Russ, they just complement each other so well.
Shockingly, though, looking at it, Laka's numbers have been better than DK.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess it's just kind of the deep ball.
Yeah, it's like the deep ball with DK, but Laka's numbers, you know, short of last week, which even then, yeah, because DK's put up, wow, he played 100% of snaps against New England? Wow.
Wow.
And 98 against Atlanta.
Well, I guess you can say, like, overall, but I think Metcalf has just been consistently dominating everybody.
Yeah, he's getting you consistent four catches, you know, about 100 yards each game.
Right.
And a score or everything but last week. I mean, with Lockett, though, you've had a low game of last week, which was two.
Two catches, how many yards?
39. Last week was a bad week for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he still looked great. I mean, he had that three-score game. Like, really, it's the scores that are setting him apart because he's got an extra one. And then, too, Russ, I think, is just a little more secure with Lockett.
Well, he's more of a, I don't know, I guess I should say, like, a utility player.
Yeah.
Like, or a utility wideout. Like,
exactly.
He can kind of do it all. That's where Metcalf has got that, you know, straight line speed.
Yep, and that size where it's just, you can't stop it.
And not, it wasn't last week, it was the game prior. Mm-hmm. Metcalf should have had another 40-yard bomb.
And unfortunately, mental lapse.
Instead, it took 2 points off of his fantasy production, and it took a touchdown off his thing. I mean, he clearly had the whole defense burned. And just
that was an 8-point wipe, now that you think about it.
Yeah.
6 for the touchdown, and then, you know, 2 for that fumble.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, Metcalf, I mean, he's like PFF, if you look at it, like his yards, I would have to go open up Twitter and look at everything again. But he's got, you know, the like 434 yards, I think it was. Mm. The next highest is like very low 300s.
Mm.
I forget who it was. I think it was Odell. And then like behind that, it was like 280 something is like the next highest. It's just like dudes. He's beating everybody deep.
Yeah,
the straight easily. Line speed is just, you know, out there.
It's ridiculous.
Chris Carson, do you like him this week?
Yeah.
I think if you're going to really beat down the Vikings, it's going to be through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
but Russ, they showed they can involve Carson in the passing game, too.
True.
So I'm like,
yeah. Another week of, you know, letting the knee heal up a little bit.
Yeah.
I like him. And would you start Adam Thielen?
I feel like if you got him, you might not have much of a choice but to start him. But then, too, not only that, Seattle's defense isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
So it's possible to score points on this defense. It's just the issue is they'll make the play when they need to, and you're not going to outscore Russ. So
insider info.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an interview with Adam Thielen today.
Mm-hmm.
It's his kid's birthday this weekend.
Ah.
He's going to score.
He's going to do his best.
He might get two.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson, I think you can fire up pretty much all your all of the Vikings that you planned on playing.
Yeah.
Play him.
Unless you plan on playing Rudolph. If you did, shame on you.
Yeah,
shame.
No one plans on playing Rudolph.
Right. Like, shame on you.
So, Monday early game.
Yep.
I actually really like I know I'm like squeaking every time I talk now.
But I like the Monday doubleheader.
Yeah. I like the fact that one starting early, you know, we don't have to listen to who, let me put a disclaimer here, is my favorite commentator in all of football, Booger McFarland.
Man, I love watching NFL Countdown just to hear Booger.
Hey, Steve Young.
He's getting so much better, though, this year. Like, he's actually not just, so whoever scores the most points is going to win the game. It's not just
that's
that.
That's
what
like, I loved
think,
about him.
I think him with Berman. Now, it's like they got a nice little give and take on primetime where I'm like, bravo, guy. Bravo.
Who was the guy that did with Chris Berman for
ever? Mark Jackson, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he?
I think he's just retired. Yeah, from ESPN. Because I think him and Berman both were retiring. And then they did ESPN Plus and was like, let's bring primetime back. Berman, you want to do this once a week?
Right.
All right. I got nothing better to do. Why not?
Sorry. So, But yeah, don't get to see Booger. But I like the fact that I don't have to sit there and watch it. You know, you can watch games early. This one starts at 5.
And honestly, this is better than how they usually do the Monday Night Football doubleheaders, because usually when it's the first Monday Night Football game of the year, you've got a quality game and then you got a snooze fest.
Yeah.
You're getting actual decent games. I mean, Denver and New England, it's a battle of backups. But
yeah.
It's New England. Right. They're going to make it entertaining,
and,
you know?
And late in the season, they just do Saturday games, right?
I think so. Well, no, they're going to still have the Monday night games. I think the Thursday nights shift into Saturdays at one point later in the year.
It's after the byes. I think it's week 13.
Yeah.
After week 13. Then it goes 14, 15, 16, 17, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. They started on Saturday. It could be
different. Honestly, though, this is a conspiracy theory I just thought of.
Oh, boy.
I think the NFL low-key is using this to exploit more Chiefs primetime games. Because think about it. You had the test with Cam. That went positive. Boom. You bumped Chiefs into a back-to-back-to-back primetime scenario. Yeah, they're playing at 1 o'clock this week. But, you know, now you're shifting their Thursday night game because you have to shift things around to a Saturday night, which is a great platform for you. I feel like the team most affected as far as scheduling by some way is going to be Kansas City, because they're going to find ways to just flex them into a primetime spot to get the views.
True.
It's must-see TV when they play anyway, so why not?
Let me go ahead and kill your theory, because 0% chance Bill Belichick lets them give his starting quarterback COVID positive isn't true. And then,
this is true.
We're going to reschedule you and the Chiefs for primetime
football. And I mean, granted, the game against Buffalo was supposed to be a primetime game on Thursday anyway, but I do feel like, you know, things are going to shift a lot more so on Kansas City's end, probably.
Could be. I mean, if they're going to start moving games around, obviously you want to put,
teams out there for people to see.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this game, it looks, I think I saw something about Drew Lock could suit up, but I saw a beat writer out of Denver yesterday say it looks like Rippon's going to be the guy to go, but expect Drew Lock next week for sure. I'm a little skeptical. I know Tim Patrick was, we didn't really talk about it. We've got a waiver show that's going to start coming out weekly, a little quick 5-minute on YouTube.com/buddies podcast, I think.
Yeah.
If the interns did fucking anything right. And we'll start posting them there. Tim Patrick was actually our number two guy this week. We like him, just not this week.
Mm-hmm.
New England does a really good job at, you know, taking the deal.
No Gilmore, though.
True.
So that's, granted, they still have a hell of a secondary, but
it's Belichick, man.
Yeah.
It's Belichick. He's gonna find a way.
It's just taking away the defensive player of the year. That's a big chunk out of your defense.
Here's the thing. Another thing is Stidham will likely get the start if Newton can't go.
Yeah.
I think regardless of who's at quarterback, Stidham's gonna get his shit together. They're not gonna allow him to, you know, have to come in and throw the ball downfield. They're gonna be forcing the ball.
I think like the mistakes he made last week were more so just thrown in fire.
Yeah.
They threw you in fire, kid. It's okay.
Exactly.
You weren't expecting to play. So, you know.
And it was against the Chiefs, too.
Who were, at that point, rolling like crazy. Their defense was feeling themselves at that point in the game.
Exactly.
So it was somewhat a setup for Stidham, you know?
Yep. But I mean, James White, Damian Harris, I think, are probably your two best bets in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't expect too much out of that unless Newton plays. Then you can start talking like Edelman being, you know, one of the top.
But with him having a positive test, I don't think Cam's going to play this week for sure. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
But he might miss another week. So we might not see him until after the bye. No, wait. Oh, they got the bye after Denver. So we'll see him back for San Fran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know they said something about him not being asymptomatic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a fucking reporter, but
they could be cleared to practice on Saturday,
right?
So you know,
which would put him in place to play.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints taking on the 1-3
Gold Chargers. Goal.
There it is.
Dude, Justin Herbert. I feel bad that Tyrod lost his starting job the way that he did. Like, it's horrible to lose your job to injury in that manner.
Right.
But man, Justin Herbert's a stud.
He's a stud.
He's looking. He's making throws, like deep throws,
right,
that some guys that are vets can't even make. And he's looking good.
Yeah.
You know, like he has his ups and downs because he's a rookie.
Right.
So there's going to be rookie growing pains. But man, and if you are a Keenan Allen owner, you are loving Justin Herbert because he is feeding him the ball as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's only going to get crazier
mm-hmm.
with Austin Ekeler going down.
Yep.
I like. Now let me give you kind of my serious thoughts here. We don't really need to cover the Saints too much.
Because you know what you're getting.
You get Thomas back.
Yeah.
It's going to be Kamara and Thomas pretty much, you know, full blown.
Yeah.
But with Eckler out, I think this is a big deal. They're saying it's 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
I personally, from what I've read, what I've heard, it could go longer.
Possibly.
And from what I saw with Josh Kelly, he looked really good in the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. The last 2 weeks, it was really kind of stagnant. Anytime they tried to get the running game going through him, it looked equally as bad with Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
So I don't expect these two to produce a whole lot on the ground. That doesn't say they can't, you know,
right,
break a couple of plays, you know, and have some good stuff. I don't think they'll be rushing for, you know, 3.5-4 yards a carry. And I don't think they'll get as many opportunities as people are expecting.
Yeah.
At least not as much as Eckler had. And Josh Kelly's leash could be a lot shorter.
Yep.
Just due to the fact that he's been fumbling in every game, last two at least. I think if he fumbles again, Justin Jackson's going to get more tries, but then they're going to see, like, the dude just can't rush.
Yeah.
But, I mean, having that said, they could make something happen as well. Should be a pretty entertaining Monday night game. And then Tuesday, we've got the Bills, we've got the Titans, both teams undefeated. How many teams are undefeated left? The Chiefs haven't lost, right?
Yeah, the Chiefs haven't lost. Green Bay. Seattle.
Pittsburgh.
And who else was it?
I think Titans,
it was
Bills. I think that's it.
Yeah, yep. So you got a couple, but somebody ain't going to be undefeated next week.
Right.
Because it's Chiefs and Bills. Very interesting.
We got the Bills Titans this week. Both teams.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Chris is fucking drunk over here.
It's not that I'm drunk. It's that the Bills are going to beat the freaking Titans if the game goes on. And, you know.
You think so? It's in Tennessee.
But, man.
Titans are decent, man.
Yeah. And a lot of it will hinge on if A.J. Brown plays as well, too, for me. But Buffalo's looking too good. Granted, they stole a win from your Rams, but they're looking too good.
Yeah. Who'd they have last week?
Last week they had, was it the Raiders last week?
It was the Raiders. Yeah, and they kind of barely skated away with that one.
Yeah. But I think they'll come into this game realizing, hey, we've been sloppy. You know, we need to make a statement before this KC game. Let's go out and do it.
Yeah. Zach Moss did not play last week. It looks like he's going to go this week. But he will be kind of a limited participant.
And plus, since he's been gone, they've gotten so much more faith in Singletary. His role might diminish a bit, too.
Yeah, and I mean, as they should.
Yeah.
He played decent last year in his rookie season. He's come out and kind of proven himself, especially since Moss went out. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you got a pretty good back in Singletary. Josh Allen playing at an MVP level.
Mm-hmm.
All of their wide receivers, man. Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley, and even Gabriel Davis, the other kid who's actually seeing quite a bit of playing time. He was out on 58% of snaps.
Wow.
Only one target, but it was 26 yards downfield. It was a beautiful catch. Mm-hmm. I like what I've seen out of the Bills so far. Their defense has been not as good as it has been in the past.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of defenses are looking suspect early on. Like, offense is up this year. Defense is really well suffering early on.
Yeah. But speaking of defense, Titans, they're no joke, dude.
Yeah, they're not.
Josh Allen's going to get a real test this week.
Mm-hmm. Is Clowney playing? I heard that they said he might be cleared to practice.
Really?
Yeah, I think they said they asked him. He was on the injury report.
Did he have COVID?
No, I don't think he had COVID, but he was on the injury report.
Oh, he was hurt. You're right.
You know, Clowney never stays healthy a full year, so there's that.
Did they drop the list of who actually had it?
Because
it was like fucking half the roster, it seems like.
Yeah, because they did actually start saying who it was. The reason why they were saying it is because you have the COVID list, you know, of guys you can designate so that you can pick up other guys on your roster.
Corey Davis was one of those guys,
wasn't he? Corey Davis was one, I believe. Who else was it? Because it was a couple of them. I think they had like five players.
Let me see if I can pull it up.
Yeah.
Titans COVID list.
And then they stupidly had that workout, which...
Okay. Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle. DB Greg Maven.
Okay.
Daquan Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Hudson. who's like the fucking third string tight end.
Ah,
Bo Brinkley, long snapper. Outside linebacker, Kamale Correa. I don't know if he even plays. Christian Fulton. Cameron Batson, I guess. Adam Humphries. Jeffrey Simmons.
Humphries was one of them.
Blasingame. Corey Davis. Nicole Pruitt. Who else? Breon Borders. I don't know. I don't think that's the full list.
Oh, wow. They suspended.
Like 20 players, wasn't
they? They suspended a guy for 6 games for violating their performance-enhancing substances policy.
Oh, I saw that. Who was that?
Tommy Hudson.
Someone else just got banned for 4 games.
Really?
It was like a backup running back or backup wide
receiver. Well, and that's ironic because he was on the COVID list and then he got suspended. That's actually hilarious.
Right?
I can't play. I'm going to do steroids.
Dude, there was somebody else who, I swear, just got a ban for performance enhancing. It, like, wasn't big news, though.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name is back, actually. I think this week from his suspension.
Who?
Breland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was only 4 games. And he didn't dispute it, so I think that technically his suspension has ended and he's back this week, which... Ooh, if he is, that's a good one for now.
All right, so we didn't really cover like news and notes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we got. Oh, we did have some fantasy questions sent to us that I said we would get to. Let me go ahead and try and find some of these. Okay, I'm just gonna burn through them. You just let me know which.
Okay.
Who not to start? Justin Jefferson versus Seattle, Julio versus Carolina, or Crowder versus Arizona?
You said Jefferson, Julio. I wouldn't start Julio in that case.
Same.
Because I just don't feel like, even if he plays the way that he's been, I don't feel like he's going to produce much.
Yeah. And so with the trades questions, guys, we really kind of need to see your whole roster.
Yeah. Because that's a huge factor in it. Because realistically, like, if you're making a trade that seems crazy, but your roster shows you can benefit from it, you know, like me with the trade that I had where, you know, I gave up a little bit at running back, but I got A.J. Brown in return. It was like, hey, you know, like I'm getting a stud in my flex. Right. So that works.
Right. So, yeah, with those, I mean, like this one says trade Mark Ingram for Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. That one, it all really just kind of depends on how that fits your team. And like I said last week with big name guys, with big name trades, you know, you really got to make sure that you're not just overloading one team.
Exactly.
Put the whole league, you know, pinned down.
Yeah.
Need a tight end, Ingram, Ebron, or Cox this week?
You said who was it?
Ingram, Ebron, or Cox?
I'm going to probably say Ebron.
Ebron as well. Yeah.
Ebron in this case.
If Raheem Mostert doesn't play, which one of these men should I play instead? He said he likes Debo this week, but he's got either Kenyon Drake, Robert Woods, Odell Beckham, or Debo Samuel's in his flex. Give me Robert Woods personally.
Yeah, like I personally am sitting Woods this week, but in that case, I go Woods.
Yeah, the safer bet. I think if you're looking for upside, Kenyon Drake's your guy.
Yeah.
Because of the matchup. This week, Gibson, Antonio Gibson, or Kenyon Drake, PPR?
I'm going to lean towards Kenyon Drake.
I also agree with that. And then there was one more that we'll go ahead and knock out. You can only start one.
Mm-hmm.
It's either DJ Chark, Terry McLaurin, or Jerry Jeudy. DJ Chark.
Easy, yeah, DJ, right? Easily. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to... Try to make it seem stupid
I definitely go DJ because Jerry Judy's going to be good, but this week, nah.
Right.
Not going to happen this week. And Terry has Jalen Ramsey on him, so.
Yep, DJ Chark should have a pretty big week.
Yeah.
Be sure to shoot us any questions, DMs, whatever. Send it to us on Twitter.
Any advice you may need.
At Booty's Podcast. Kind of a longer episode, but.
But you know, we made it work
through it. Right. Is there any other notable injuries that we're missing? keep an eye out on Julio. We'll know more tomorrow.
Other than that, I think we've covered just about all the injuries.
Yeah, and everybody else is already, like, Tampa Bay's already played, and then everyone else is like, you know, they're done for the year. I don't think there's too much to, like, monitor this week going into the week.
Not too. I mean, short of, you know, that Tennessee game.
Right.
It's not really much that you got to monitor at this time, so you're good.
All right. Well, that's it. That's our Friday. Friday night. If you're listening to this, remember what I said about Kenyon Drake.
Yep.
And be sure to catch us on the flippity flip.
Catch us on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip. All right, that's our show.
Peace.
Where did these niggas be at when they said they doing all this and all that? When he tell the story, that's not how it went. No, they be lying 100%. Moved out of the wrist and forgot about the band. Now they just called me to tell me come get it. Now that boy off and I don't.